Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, Adam. Great to talk to you. Hot stove.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're great. We're great.
Good morning, Adam.
Okay, is Starling Marte going to be traded imminently?
I don't know if it's necessarily imminently or not, but I do believe he's going to be traded this offseason. I think, you know, you've heard a couple of interesting teams and a couple of teams that make sense in one way and actually don't make sense in other ways in the Mets and the Padres. The Padres are the exact kind of team that if you're the Pirates, you want them to be involved because they have a ton of young talent. They have a ton of catching in their system. You know, those are two things the Pirates should be looking to add, are prospects and catchers, because they have no catchers in the system. They only have one on the 40-man roster. The Mets are a little more interesting because I thought they, you know, filled their center field need with Jake Mariznick. I thought the Padres were done adding outfielders when they got Tommy Pham and the guy from Milwaukee. So I'm a little curious to see where this goes, but it does seem like there is enough smoke here that Starling Marte will be traded at some point this offseason, even if it's not imminently.
And catching definitely seems to be the top priority for Ben Cherington this offseason, rightfully so. As you mentioned, they don't have any really outside of Jake Stallings major league ready and not much in the pipeline either. I've also heard rumblings that starting pitching could be a target this offseason, particularly at the meetings. How much do you get a feeling for, Adam, the impact of not having a complete staff together yet is impacting any moves they may want to make, in so much as you've seen guys like Porcello and Waka come off the board the last 24 hours who would be more affordable options for the Pirates if they were looking for one-year starting pitchers? Has not having a new pitching coach slowed them down at all in that regard?
I think it's a great point because you're right. I mean, guys are going to want to know who they're going to work with, especially these bounce-back type guys like Waka, you know, who got a smaller contract with incentives in it. He's going to want to know who's helping him because, you know, sometimes guys seek out coaches who are, you know, good at specific things. It's why, you know, Ray Searage attracted some of the starters that he did earlier this decade. I think that's definitely part of it. Because that's probably also why the Pirates are making the pitching coach hire their priority. They were pretty clear about that. The next hire they make is going to be the pitching coach. They're interviewing candidates. We've heard some names out here that make some sense. But I think that's going to have to be the next one they fill because you're right. How are you going to sign a you know, major league starting pitcher or reliever or, you know, bring in guys and start to make plans for how you're going to get these guys better? You know, the existing guys you have, like Chris Archer and Trevor Williams, Joe Musgrove, better next year if you don't have a pitching coach in place. So I think it's definitely part of it. I also do think that this is probably why they need to clarify this sort of rebuild or not stance, because realistically, are the Pirates trying to get these guys? We don't necessarily know because they're not coming out and saying, you know, is that the plan? Is it the plan to be better in 2020? You know, if it is, I'm not entirely sure there's a ton of sense in going after, you know, Rick Porcello just for the sake of filling a rotation spot that could go to Mitch Keller, Chad Cooler, somebody who could factor into the plan in 2022, 2023.
I don't know, and that's why they missed on Garrett Cole, no pitching coach.
that's the one. That's the only reason I could see.
Yes. Tell me this. I don't know what the advanced metrics say. I don't know what the traditional stats say. What do they say internally in terms of the talk and also those numbers? Can Brian Reynolds play 162 in center field, get four at-bats every night, and push through the rigors and the grind of a full Major League Baseball season?
That's what they said. We asked very specifically that question to Ben Cherington yesterday. He, you know, did not hesitate, did not pause. He said, yes, we believe Brian Reynolds can handle center field on an everyday basis. And, you know, he did for short stretches last season, you know, when Marte was hurt the first time and then when Marte was down at the end of the season. But you're right, that is a whole lot that he's going to have to deal with. You know, coming up, you know, for a full major league season playing center field, the demands of that position, leadership involves, you know, the grind. People are going to come at him a lot harder next year than they did, you know, pitchers are, next year than they did this year when he was just a rookie. So there's a lot of challenges involved with that. It would be putting a lot on his plate. The good news is, you know, from Reynolds' perspective, he's not a guy who's, you know, bothered by a whole lot. He doesn't seem to be fazed by much. So maybe he's, you know, the kind of guy who's capable of handling it. He's played center field most of his life. So it seems like something that they probably will, that will probably be the move if Marte's traded. You just move Reynolds to center and figure out the other outfield spot.
Well, and that also brings up part of one of the names I've seen rumored in a return for Marte, if it involved the Mets, would be Brandon Nimmo, which led me to down the line of thinking of what the heck does the rest of the outfield look like around Reynolds? In particular, what is Gregory Polanco just like an afterthought for this organization at this point? Where does he fit in, if anywhere?
No, he's a starting right fielder. I mean, that's where he fits in at this point. You have to have contingency plans just in case the shoulder doesn't hold up. Although by all accounts, his off-season workouts are going well. He's expected to be ready for spring training with no restrictions, everything like that. But I think he is very much in the plans, and he's a guy that they probably like to see bounce back, you know, whether it's because they're going to trade him or because, you know, they want him to be a building block for whatever the next team is, because he's still under contract for, I believe, it's 2023 once you count all the club options and everything. So, I think I'm curious to hear more about Polanco from Todd Tomczyk or, you know, once they get more reports as we get closer to spring training or minicamp type thing, because they really do need Polanco to be relevant heading into next year, because he absolutely wasn't this year. They definitely need him to fill one of those outfield spots, especially if they're trading Starling Marte, because you don't have a lot of depth there either, at least major league ready depth. So, you know, then you might have to take a shot on, dare I say it, another Lonnie Chisenhall of the world. Not Chisenhall, but somebody like him, you know, to backfill and fill in one of those spots.
Last thing for you. Is Scott Boras good or bad for baseball?
I think the entertainment value of it's great. I think he's getting clients paid what they deserve. You know, Gerrit Cole deserves that contract he got. Steven Strasburg deserved it. Anthony Rendon deserved it. I think he made these meetings one of the better and more memorable winter meetings of all time, because he was the one, you know, kind of pulling the strings behind it. You know, it's always an event when he comes out and talks, you know, and 3,000 media members follow him around and stand on balcony so they can hear him. I think it's pretty fun. I think it's a good thing. Just as far as the entertainment value and the way that he fights for players and the way that he represents the top-of-the-line players the way that they deserve, I think he's definitely good for baseball in those regards.
Adam Berry, MLB.com. Adam, we'll catch up soon. It's getting to be about that time. Get on the other side of the holidays, and then bang, here we are.
Oh, man. Yeah, we were talking about minicamp and booking spring training housing all of a sudden, and it's almost there.
Almost there. What a way to look at it. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
See you. Yes,
thanks, Adam.
Go back to bed. Yeah, really great stuff from him, as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.